This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, a little cooler weather is coming, they tell me.
Yeah.
Rain's coming.
Yeah.
There's a hurricane in the Gulf, thank goodness.
Didn't you say, you said last week or the week before that you could use a good hurricane, I think.
I did. I meant it. I said, you know, a hurricane, it'll just blow that rain right on up from the Gulf, and we need it so bad.
Yeah.
You know, just blow us a little rain, you know, an inch or two. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and there you go. It's really kind of creepy when you say weird things like that, and then they happen.
I know. But we just want a little hurricane. It doesn't have to be a big one. Just
oh,
a little one.
Yeah. Just a little bit, bit of moisture, a little humidity, a couple of drops from the sky. That's all. No big winds, no destruction, nothing like that. Just a little bit of rain to cool things down and wet things up a little bit.
That's what I'm talking about. It would be nice.
Yeah. Wow. I was not expecting you to say that. I thought, oh, it's hot again and no rain and no break in sight. Because I thought, you know, there's no way after you said that that's actually going to happen. And I think we even joked about it. I said, if it does happen, it's your fault.
We did joke about it. That's right. But, you know, I think everybody's safe. Well, it's a wonderful blessing.
Yeah.
Let's just take a little rain. I don't care where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know, We will accept it gladly.
Of course, with all the the drought and the fires that you've had and things like that, the damage is kind of already done for this year. So I mean, it'll just kind of like, I guess, stop the bleeding, so to speak. As far as recovery, it's going to take what, a year or two to
get
things.
I think the ranches are looking at a year or two to recover, and the yards. You know, we had the damage in February to the yards, and now we've got the damage from the heat that's killed almost everything. All the beautiful flowers are gone. A lot of the bushes are dead. I mean, we're going to have to do all this all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on. And I don't want to put cactuses out. I'm not ready to go that route.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to look like Arizona.
Not yet.
You know, a little gravel here and there, you know.
Yeah, and then you have to wonder in the back of your brain as you do replant, you know, what's going to happen next summer? Are you going to go through this again? Is this a new thing, or is this just kind of like a once in a blue moon kind of a weird, hot, dry summer?
Yeah. I'm hoping it's a one-time deal in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Man. I do not want to go through this again.
No.
I mean, we've never had it where it's 104, 106 every day. It's a tough way to live.
It really is.
And I'll bet you a lot of the mowing companies are out of business because, you know, you couldn't water, so the grass is all dying, and people don't need their lawns mowed like they did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like every 2 weeks or every week, that's out.
Yeah.
You might have it mowed once a month, if at all, right now.
Yeah, it may have been even, you know, they didn't even show up. Because didn't you say that they show up every 2 weeks or whatever it is, whether you need it or not, and now they haven't
That's
been
right.
able to?
If you have a contract with them, they come, they mow, they don't care. And when they came to mow mine, I said, there's no use to mow. There's no grass hardly left.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you're going to do. And I didn't want to spark a fire. You know, because a mower right now, you know, could spark a fire, and they were telling everybody, do not use riding lawn mowers at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And with them being, not banned, but you know, you shouldn't be using them. You know, it's much more than just, you know, dealing with the terms of the contract. Now it's an actual thing where you can't use it, and so then they don't even have any choice. So they couldn't come every 2 weeks. Yeah, I bet you're right. I bet probably several of them are probably out of business, and who knows what they'll do to recover. So the effects of all that you've been going through in the last couple of months is kind of it's almost like a ripple effect. The effects are far and wide in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, it affects, you know, each thing affects a different company. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, that sector is probably taking a pretty big hit. But you've got some rain, and so that's in the forecast. And so you got, what about temperatures? Are your temperatures coming down at all, or are you still staying
high? They say the temperatures starting next week, is going to get a lot better.
Ooh.
It's going to be 10 to 15 degrees. Lower, everything's going to be wonderful. and take the weatherman's word for it, folks.
Well, I'm
it's going to be wonderful.
I'm more inclined to take your word for it since you say weird things and they happen.
That's right. Sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know you've been itching to talk about this because it's my understanding that you have had a really big week this week. Yes?
We have. We've had all kinds of people coming to the office. I had to reschedule people. We had more people than we could handle.
Wow.
So a lot of people are getting out of the stock market. The people that came had some pretty significant losses. They didn't want any more losses. So they're officially out of the stock market, several people. It was a red letter day and week, really, because of all these people coming. We had to turn some people down. We've never done that in our life. We said, you know, we can't see today. Have to be tomorrow, the next day, because we were so busy. So we've got a lot of new clients. They brought a lot of new money, about a couple of million. So we're going to get them in policies as soon as possible. And we've got a lot of really good policies coming. If we get all the ones that we have bid, it will really be a red letter month, not just red letter day. We've got some really good policies we've bid. We should know any day about them. We've got contracts coming. I'm waiting to see the contracts. But one of them, the premium is so low, if we get that, I mean, the premium per person would run about $10.
No.
It looks to me like it'd be $10 or $20. It couldn't be very much.
Wow.
It's a big, big policy, and the premium is $1,800 on $2,750,000.
Wow. I don't think you've ever had any, from what I can remember, a policy that big with premiums that low. Has that ever happened before?
Never.
Wow.
Never. It's like a 1/600 of 1%.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, the premium per person, as I said, it'd probably be, you know, $20, something like that. It's so low. I mean, it's great.
Wow. That's amazing.
So all of them are really good policies. We're waiting on contracts on three policies. You know, and one said, one guy's pretty sick, and he said, well, what about, how long do I have if I have to do a rescission? I go, well, let's not talk about rescission. We don't even have your contract signed. And he's already thinking, what if I'm getting worse, you know?
Oh.
And, and find out I'm going to go quicker. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen to him.
Wow.
But there's a 12-month, and the rest are like 24 to 48 months. We've got one that's longer, but, you know, people will make a lot more money on it, too. So it's a good thing to have one long one. The others are all short.
Wow. And they're all really super fantastic, too. That's
yes,
amazing.
They're all really good policies. We've got one that's colon cancer, liver cancer. I mean, they've got cancer in several places. One of them, it's in their ribs or spine, all this. And, you know, especially men. They start having these backaches, and they don't go to the doctor and say, you know, this could be something really serious. and they just put it off and put it off. It's just like cervical cancer on women. It's a quiet disease. You don't know you had it. And people put it off and put it off. Then when they go, they find out, you know, usually it's stage four. I have a relative that they've just told her that she has cervical cancer.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and she would not go, she wouldn't go to the doctor, wouldn't go. We finally said, you've got to go or else. And so when they went, of course, he found out it was cervical cancer. And she's 30-something years old.
Oh, wow. That's young.
Yes. It's really young. I don't remember us buying any policies quite that young. You know, usually they're 40 to 45 years old. But a lot of women, you know, just like men, they don't go when they're really feeling bad. They think it's just nothing, you know.
Yeah, but just kind of blow it off as though, it's fine. I've felt, you know, aches and pains before, and I felt this, and it's nothing. And
yes.
Then by that time.
So it's too late.
Yeah.
And I'm working on three cases where the men were having these horrible back pains. And finally went to the doctor. Yes, you do have cancer. And now they're on every kind of pain medicine there is, you know, just trying to survive.
Jeez.
So the theory is when that first starts and it's hurt for 30 days, go to the doctor, see. You know, if you don't get the right result, go to a different doctor.
Yeah.
But you might could save your life or at least extend it some.
Yeah, and that's one thing that's never changed. You've always really, since the beginning, talked about, you know, early detection. If somebody, you know, if you get to a doctor and they kind of blow things off and they're not taking it seriously, go see somebody else and go see somebody else until you actually get an answer. And so that's really, really important. And a lot of people don't do that. And so then they end up in bad situations that are, you know, sometimes not much they can do about it at that point.
That's right. It's just maintenance sometimes. But the good news is we're getting people help because we're buying their policies. We're going to help them that way because their treatment at this point, if it's stage four, you know, they're going to be doing a lot, and it's gotten so expensive.
Yeah.
Just the test alone, you know, they've got to test your blood. They've got to check all this all the time. And then they've either got you on radiation or that terrible chemo. So, you know, they're fighting for survival.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they need a lot of cash, and that's why they come to us. And our people, you know, it's an investment strictly. They're making 12% on the 12% on the 12 month. If it's a 24 month, of course, they're making 24%. I was reading the statements of the people that came this week. And I was looking to see how much they had made. And before this year, they were making 4% on their investment.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, for that much risk, for 100,000% risk. The other thing I noticed is some of the brokers had slid some penny stocks into their portfolios. And penny stocks, you know, I mean, they're thinly traded. They're very high risk. Lots of times, I've had people that had penny stocks and they couldn't sell it. Now, these people were lucky. Theirs did sell. But sometimes it doesn't. And you start to liquidate. You find out you've got this penny stock. If you've got 20,000 or 25,000, that's a lot of money to have in penny stock.
Wow.
Because if it goes south, there's not enough of markets to support it.
Yeah. Did they know? Because sometimes we talk about how, you know, brokers will slide, you know, things like penny stocks in there and people don't necessarily know until they've had it for a while and they've suffered a big loss at that point. And then they look at their statement. It's like, oh, my word. Where did that come from? Did they know?
Yeah. Yes, they did in this case. I know of a stock that people were touting several years ago. And it's a foreign stock. It's in Australia. And 15 cents a share. And all these people bought it. And it still is at 15 cents a share 5 years later.
Oh, man.
15 cents a share. And they've got like $200,000 in it.
Wow. So it's just
sitting
there.
I mean, that's a lot of money in a penny stock, folks.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, people do strange things.
At least they weren't into like the Bitcoin and whatever that whole sector is. That could have been.
Yeah, because, you know, those people are stealing that every day. They steal, you know, 50 million, 100 million. And one of those big crypto markets has went under. I believe it's called Cellulose. I was reading about that this week, and these people are begging for their money out of that thing. They've got 100 million left, I guess, in crypto. And the bankruptcy court, and they're asking, they said, several people said, it's our life savings. We put our life savings in it. They said it was FDIC insured.
Oh.
I go, now, how could you fall for that? I mean, wow. Crypto is not insured by the FDIC, folks.
No.
I mean, I could not believe that. And these poor people, they fell right in it. They gave them their life savings. Now, how many people would do that on something this new and untried?
Yeah. It's a big risk for something that most people don't even know about. Like, what do you say that you got to be awfully like super duper wealthy to even think about doing something like that, just because the risk is so high, and you've got to be in a position where it's okay to lose, you know, tons and tons of money. Otherwise, you could
That's
be in some
right.
serious
you should
trouble.
Be, I would say a multimillionaire several times over if you're going to do risky things like the crypto market. Because I don't know how they steal it, but every once in a while, you know, they'll steal, as I said, 100 million or something, and then they give you a little bit back, or they'll say, for this fee of 6 million, we'll give you it all back. And see, I don't even know how they steal it. I can't for the life of me figure this out.
I don't know. It's all virtual.
It's all virtual. So how do they do it? Somehow they get the account, grab it, and run with it. And I don't understand it. But I know a lot of people have gotten taken. And then there's a lot of people probably doing fine in it. But that big investment out of New York, the one that went under, you know, he said, well, I've got $100 million here in court. And they're saying, give it to us. I mean, you know, we want our life savings back.
Wow.
So I don't know how much the court will let them have or how long it'll take for them to get it.
Yeah, I'm almost surprised. We see so many times.
It was in the billions.
Oh.
And they're only going to get 100 million back. Oh yeah, it was billions.
Oh.
It was a big crypto deal.
Oh wow. That's just not even that's virtually pennies on the dollar at that point.
Yeah, it will be pennies on the dollar, but everybody's begging for it. They said, you know, I don't know and like retired people. Why would they have put their life savings in that? Maybe they knew somebody there. Maybe all these people knew the guy that ran it. I don't know.
That could be. That happens a lot. People will, you know, they'll trust a person who tells them something, and they'll just assume that, you know, this person is on the up and up, even if they've known them or even a family member for years and years and years, and they'll just take them at their word without really knowing what the investment is or how it works or what the risks are. And it's kind of amazing when you say things like, you know, they steal, you know, your money, and then they'll offer to give it all back for a fee of $6 million. It's almost like they're holding it ransom. And then
they are ransoming it. There's a lot of them every day that I read about where they've ransomed it out, and sometimes they get it back, sometimes it's gone forever. And see, I don't understand how it disappears and shows up. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me, how it's already virtual. So how do they steal it if it's virtual?
I don't understand.
How can they go in and find it is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can find it. If it's virtual, somehow they can find it. They steal it. And then you go into your virtual account and it's all gone.
Yeah. It's almost like they're stealing nothing because it's not a thing. It's like stealing air.
That's right.
My brain doesn't.
But the air is worth so much. In other words, it's like everything else. Even though you can't see it and it's virtual, it's worth so many cryptos. It's worth so much. I mean, you know.
It's like the more answers we have, the more confused I think I get.
That's right. It's too hard for us to understand. We better stay away from stuff that we do not understand.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? We don't even understand how it works.
No.
Much less how they steal it. So I guess we better just stay with what we know. I believe life insurance policies is a lot better situation.
It is. And it's something that people have a lot of information about. When the new investors came over to see you this week, it was probably a relief from what they're used to, even, you know, with just the stock market, that you had all this information and they have, you know, page 14 and they have, you know, the policies that they can look over. It's a ton of information at their disposal before they even decide to invest or not. They can look over all these stuff.
That's right. And then we did a lot of annuities this week. Uh-huh. More annuities than we've done in a long time. We did a lot of annuities this week. We had several people that didn't qualify. You know, as you know, you've got to be accredited. You've got to make $200,000 a year, or you've got to be worth $1 million without your house. We had some people that didn't qualify. So they all went in annuities this week. So, and they had lost too much. I had one gentleman that had several hundred thousand, but he had a lot more than that before. So, you know, he was down on his investment. So we did several annuities. We did some 10-year annuities. We put it in all kinds of investments. We did a 2-year strategy on it where that come what may, when that interest comes in, it's locked in. Your annuities never go down. You never lose money with an annuity. It might have a year when it didn't make anything, but it stays level. You never lose, and so your money's always guaranteed. That principle's always safe in annuity. And once your interest is locked in, it doesn't ever go anywhere. So we did a lot of those this week, too. So people are investing in a lot of different things with very little risk. That's why the life settlements, you know, it's a life insurance policy. The risk is low on it. The risk is really, really low on annuity. So I think that's why people are getting out of the stock market this week, because they looked at their portfolios and saw how much they lost and said, you know, we don't want to lose anymore. At their age, they do not need to be doing it. These were people in their 50s this week that came.
Oh, so yeah, so they're looking at retirement, and this is kind of too late to, you know, you don't want to have to go back to work when you're 75.
These people were in their mid-50s, like 55, 56 years old. So they had lost all they've considered they could afford to.
Yeah, yeah. The closer people get to that retirement age, you want to kind of reduce your risk, because you don't want everything to fall apart right before you retire. You may not get to retire.
That's right. Then I had some people that have just retired, and they said, we can't afford the risk anymore.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to be making that kind of money. They've started taking their Social Security. So they need a safe investment. So we had to do annuities because they're going to need a definite amount to take out each year.
You've talked to people before that have actually retired and then lost a big chunk and then had to go back to work at that point. Haven't
we
you?
We have.
Okay.
The people several years ago in Odessa, in 2008, they had to go back to work. They lost almost all their money. It's the only case I ever heard of where somebody actually physically at their age had to go back to work. The husband went back. The wife did. It's going to be years before they recoup, if ever. Wow. You know, we had a lot of people that didn't recoup after that for 5 years. You know, Warren Buffett can afford risk, high risk. You know, he's lost $47 billion, and that's nothing to him.
Jeez.
I always thought everything he did turned to gold. But apparently it doesn't always turn to gold, because he's had some huge losses lately. And I'm shocked. I thought he was the smartest man on Wall Street. And, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond, you know, was cratering the other day. I mean, really cratering. And it went way, way up, and then it plunged again.
Really?
So, yeah. So I don't know. A lot of these retailers are really having a difficult time.
you had mentioned that you, for a couple of these annuities, you had mentioned that you had done a two-year strategy. I know we generally don't get too deep into annuities. We have kind of in the last recent week or a couple of weeks or so. What does it actually mean to do a two-year strategy? What does that?
Okay, a two-year, in other words, instead of at the end of the first year, no matter what has happened on the investment, they pay you then. But if you do a two-year, you've got a longer stretch there to see if it'll be profitable. In other words, instead of just saying, well, whatever it makes this year, and we go, no, no, let's do it for a two-year, and that way, if you've got ups and downs, you've got that second year that might be better than your first year.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a two-year strategy instead of a one-year strategy, because look at the stock market, how it's, you know, it's going up, then it's losing 200-300 points weekly. And so this way, if an annuity has a bad year, you don't have to worry about it because you've got that second year on it. So you've got a two-year strategy rather than a one-year strategy. And I think it'll be better. So that's what I've been doing lately, is doing a two-year strategy.
Huh.
Where at the end of 2 years, we'll see how good we did.
Wow. And then probably by that time, I would assume maybe things have really propelled for people and gives
we
them
hope a... it's straightened out by then, yes.
Yeah, that's
so we'll see what a two-year strategy will do. I think it might do better than a one-year strategy. Anyway, we'll know it in 2 years.
Yeah, and I like the thing with annuities that, correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but I think the way you phrase it is that with an annuity, your principal is safe and it can't go down. Am I saying that?
It never goes down.
Okay.
When you put your principal in there, that principal will always be there. And at the end of the term, you can take principal plus all your interest out.
Hmm.
It's a walk away. A lot of annuities are not a walk away. This is a walk away. At the end of 10 years, they're not going to charge you a fee to take your money out. They're going to give you all your interest that you've made, plus your principal, if you want to take it all out.
And these are fixed, not variables, right?
That's right. They are not variables. Variables have mutual funds in them. These do not have mutual funds. My goodness, no. These are solid. It's an index only. Remember that. It's a fixed and an index.
Hmm.
And it's inside an annuity where you cannot take a loss. You're not ever directly in the stock market, which is wonderful.
Yeah, because I know people
This is for really, really conservative investors that want to be sure at the end of the term they've got their principal, they've got their interest, or that they can take interest out every year for the rest of their life. And if they get old and their mind gets bad, if you're in annuity, it doesn't matter. They're going to credit you with your interest whether your mind's good or bad. You know?
You don't
if it
have
gets
to...
soft, we don't have to worry about it.
There's not a lot of involvement, a lot of engagement, a lot of people don't have to do much.
No, there's not a lot of moving parts to an annuity.
Hmm.
An annuity, you just park it, let it make money, and they credit it and they put it in your account.
So essentially,
that's
just
the way it ought to be.
Set it and forget it kind of a thing.
Set it and forget it. Annuities are that way.
Cool.
And annuities have gotten better and better over the years, by the way. I can remember when annuities paid just a fixed rate. That's all you could get. Then the indexes came along, and then it got better, and it's gotten better. They've improved on annuities the last 3 years.
Wow.
So annuities are a lot better than they used to be.
For the people that came over this week that were are now in annuities, you said that some of them were they were trying to do life settlements, but they weren't accredited, and so they went with annuities.
That's right.
And you say that sometimes people will come over and want to do both. It's not like you have to I don't want to make it sound like we want to do life settlements, but we settled for annuities. That's not the case at all. Annuities
no,
are.
That's
great,
not right.
They're a great first option for many, many people, as opposed
they
to...
They are, because a lot of people want the security of an annuity. It is a secure contract, and that's why they like it.
Mm, yeah. I can see, especially coming over from the stock market.
That's right. If you've been in the stock market and see where you've got losses, you get an annuity, and you will never have a loss in an annuity.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen because your money's safe because it's inside the annuity. It's not out here rocking in the stock market. You know, It's not going to have the ups and downs that you have in the stock market. Yeah, you're not going to make 1,000% in one day, but you're not going to lose anything.
Yeah.
So that's the advantage of an annuity. You know where you stand at all times.
And you can't say that in the stock market, especially these days.
No, no. It's a day-to-day thing. And, you know, one day you've got money, but next day you've got less.
Yeah.
And I looked at several portfolios this week, so I know what I speak of.
You've seen it firsthand.
Well, and one lady had she had a large account that she sent me, then she had a smaller one. And I was looking at the smaller one and what her losses were. And on $50,000, she had already lost $5,000.
Oh, my.
This last quarter. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, that's a big loss. You know?
Yeah, geez.
So I was looking at her losses. And when you've got a small account, you can't afford any losses.
No. You have small accounts like that. Even 10% that's a big hit. And so, yeah, you've got to do something about that. That's amazing. It fascinates me how annuities are, and you'll have to clarify this because I know I'm going to butcher this, but it's fascinating to me how annuities are, they dabble in the stock market, but they're not in the stock market. How does that work?
Well, they mirror it. That's the word you want to use, mirror.
That's
they mirror it. And they do all these things, but they do it from a distance. In other words, you can see the stock market, but you're not over there directly in it. You can see what the stock market's done that week or that month, but you're over here. You're inside the annuity. If it makes money, they're going to credit you with it. If it doesn't, it stays steady. It's just going to hold steady. If you'd been directly over there in the stock market and it went down, you'd have took the loss.
Jeez.
You know, it would have affected your portfolio. But this never affects your annuity. If it makes money, then it's credited. If it doesn't, it just stays steady.
Wow. That's a big takeaway. That is well put. If it makes money, you're credited. If it doesn't, you don't lose money. And so that's
right.
A really, really big deal
is a big deal for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, especially right now when people are, you know, looking at other options, and you know, we talk about the life settlements so much, and you know, all the risks involved, and which aren't terribly huge, but the accreditation factor, and then people may be saying to themselves, well, geez, I'm not accredited, so I don't have any options. Annuities are fantastic for people in that situation. In fact, you have a lot of people that actually are accredited for life settlements, but they still do annuities too because they are so great. They do have that, I guess, that safety net, that bottom shelf where it can't go down. I think that's a way to say it.
And, you know, different companies write different annuities. And I have found that the one that we use is really top of the line when it comes to the investment, the profitability of it. Because I look at annuities every week. Somebody's always send me their annuities for me to look at. And I find that this company, really, I like theirs better, their interest better, and I like the way that it comes out at the end. And we've had a lot of other annuity companies we've represented, and they were totally different than this. At the end of the term, you still had to take a payout. You could not just walk off and say, you know, I've been here 10 years. I think I'll do something else. You can't. And then if the person dies, they had to take a payout. Not with this. If you die, your family gets the money. They can take it in 5 years or they can take it whole. They can take the whole thing. And there's no penalty for an heir taking their money. That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be a penalty to get your money.
Is it fair to say that as far as maybe the big difference between annuity and a life settlement is that a life settlement is a little bit more aggressive with return on investment? Whereas maybe an annuity is not, it's a slow, steady growth, not quite as aggressive on ROI, but
it is not
nice
aggressive. No.
Okay.
It's steady all the way.
All right.
Annuities are steady. I would always say that. You know where you stand. You can depend on them, and that's why annuity is good. A life settlement is a lot more exciting. Your return can be a lot more than it can be the other way, but sometimes it can go over. Annuities don't go over. With a life settlement, it could come in early. A lot of them do lately. You know, this month we've had, I think we're at $7 million now in maturities.
Wow.
Sometimes they go over and you have to wait an extra year or two for your money. You'll always get your money, but it could be late. You know, we've got those old policies that are just now maturing. We're almost out of those, folks. Huh. We've got one more to go and we will be out. But, you know, that's the difference. It's on time, early, or it can be late. That's your three choices. And it makes more than annuity does because of the way it's set up.
Yeah. Yeah. The profit margins and the LEs and all that kind of combined, bigger profit margins.
Yes, you'll make
still
a lot more money. I have several people that their interest with us is over $100,000 a year.
Wow.
Then I've got some that it's not that much. Someone said the other day, I haven't had a maturity in 2 years. That means they're up. And, you know, every time I say that, they'll have two or three maturities in a row. These that we're paying off now, several of these people were in two different policies.
Wow, that's a big payout at one time.
And back then, we let people put more money in policies than we do now. That one policy, that old one, several of those people are getting $200,000 back.
Wow.
That's
cool.
A lot of money, folks.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And one of them said, I'm so thankful it finally matured. We are, too. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
I mean, we were hoping every day of our life to get out of those policies. But again, you know, we only do up to 75. We're not going to do an old person. We did those. They were old, but they were not sick. Those people convinced us they were not. And we're a lot more careful now. We make sure the people are really ill. We're reading LEs. We're going back and getting all the medical. I'm doing medical on every policy that I'm exposed to. If it's 1,000 pages, 2,000 pages, doesn't matter. We're going to read it.
Wow.
I read every one of them.
That's
because I want to be sure they're really, really sick.
Man.
That's your profit. You know?
It's a lot of late night reading for you. Jeez Louise,
it
that's
is,
a lot.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Wow. So really, I guess the takeaway is whether people, you know, like the excitement of a life settlement, or they like the steadiness and the security-ness of an annuity. Either way, both great options, especially for people coming over from the stock market. They just have to kind of figure out where they are, what they're qualified for, what they want to do, where they want to be in a few years, how aggressive they want to be, and you can kind of help guide them through that that process. But the bottom line, either one is a great opportunity. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's Gladewater, Texas.
Ooh, cool.
There's so many things interesting about Gladewater, Texas. I mean, I just found more and more information in every location in town. And so I was excited about it. I said, you know, this little old town in East Texas has got a lot of history. Gladewater started out, it was founded in 1873 by the Texas Pacific Railroad. And when they announced the railroad is coming through, they said, this is going to be the only mail stop in the entire area. So all these people that lived in the other little towns, they had to move to Gladewater because otherwise they're not going to get any mail. So the first post office, was established in 1873. So they had mail. Well, the next big thing was they found oil, if you remember. On April 7th, 1931, the first Gladewater oil well blew in. And that set them up. They had like 400 people there. And there was 8,000 people by 1940.
Wow.
So it was doing really good. But then, as you know, they found salt in the water. It didn't last long. It affected them really bad. So by 1980, of course, they had to have other things. They had lumber because they've got lots and lots of trees in East Texas. So they went a different way. They started farming. They started doing all this other. They have a lot of things going on. They have a rodeo every year in June. They have a craft festival. And then they have Christmas in November. They are also the antique capital of East Texas. In 1935, the Boston Red Sox had a franchise there.
Really?
I mean, everything in the world. But the biggest thing for me is the fact that they had all these artists come there, and the biggest one was Elvis Presley.
Really?
And, oh, my gosh, yes, all these artists, Johnny Cash, Perkins, Elvis Presley, all of them, and they had the Louisiana Hayride there. It was taped right there in Gladewater. This is really their claim to fame. Elvis did one of the first shows at the Mint Club in Gladewater in 1954. And DJ Tom Perryman was helping him with it. And he was booking shows all over East Texas. But he stayed with the Perryman family in Gladewater. Can you imagine? He was actually staying with a family. They became close friends. And then they brought in Jim Reeves. Farron Young was coming there. Ray Price came there. I mean, music became a big scene in Gladewater. And so in 2017, all these people started doing metal work, honoring all these musicians that came there. And the Elvis Presley one is really nice. It says, Elvis Presley, King of Rock and Roll, donated by Jim and Suzanne Bardwell.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and they loved him there, so they put up the big sign about him. He stayed at the local motel, and it actually had air conditioning in 1954.
Really? I didn't think anybody had air in 1954.
I know.
How did that happen? I didn't even know air had been invented in 54.
I know. Now then, another claim to fame, Johnny Cash was going on the Louisiana Hayride. He had about 20 minutes before showtime. And in 20 minutes, he penned I'll Walk the Line.
Really?
He did it right there in Gladewater just before a show.
I did not know that. I think maybe I should have, but wow, that's impressive. That's cool.
He did it in 20 minutes.
It's such an iconic
song. It's just amazing. Oh, yeah. And everybody was shocked that, to realize that all these guys were performing there, Louisiana Hayride, and the Jaycees actually made $1,300. $1,300. And later, these guys were also famous. It's just a matter. But it was the early days of rock and roll. And as I said, it was a number one hit on the billboards for Johnny Cash.
Man. And he wrote it in 20 minutes right before a show.
He wrote it in 20 minutes just before a show. And also, they've got a copy of Elvis Presley's signature at the Restmore Motel from way back then.
Really?
And they saved it.
Wow.
Yes.
From, like, the registry book or something like that?
Yeah, from the registry book. And it says Restmore Motel. And then his signature's up there above it. Can you imagine?
Cool. Yeah, that'd be something to hang on to.
Yes. And so They've got the oil museum there. They've got all the singers that they've made all the cutouts on Main Street. They've got one of the world's largest bookstores, used bookstores there. And come to find out, a lot of this came from McMurtry. You remember when McMurtry sold all of his bookstores up there by Wichita Falls several years ago before he died? And these people bought a lot of those books from McMurtry's bookstore.
Really?
So now they've got the largest collections of used books anywhere.
Wow, that's impressive.
It is impressive. And everybody says that if you go to Gladewater, you can spend a week just downtown looking at all the things they've got. Also, they did an oil derrick downtown years ago to commensurate the oil boom that they had, even though it was short-lived. And back then, during the oil boom, there was derricks all downtown, everywhere, because, you know, oil was more important than housing. So, you know, there was just oil derricks everywhere. But the Louisiana Hayride, can you imagine, Saturday night in Gladewater, Texas, was on the radio.
Wow.
And there was about 3,000 people that attended it. But as I said, it didn't make but about 1,300 for the JC.
At first, I'm like, that doesn't sound like much. And then I'm like, maybe that is for the 50s. I'm not really sure. It still doesn't sound like very much.
Well, now, do you know, can you imagine where the jamboree was held? It was held at the Gladewater High School. That's where all these guys performed. It was at the high school. Oh, my gosh. You know, famous people. But they performed all over East Texas. But the Louisiana Hayride at the high school was the big calling card. And all these people, you know, came to see it at the jamboree. I mean, I just can't imagine. 1954, 1955. It's just amazing that all these people performed there.
And not even on a fancy set or anything like that. Just
nothing fancy. Just at the high school, the Bobby Soxers were out. But now let me tell you what else they're famous for. Some famous people were born and raised there. Michael Brown, a member of the Carradine family, was born there.
Really?
Skip Butler, former punter for the Houston Oilers.
Wow.
John Floyd, yeah, former wide receiver with San Diego Chargers.
Wow.
Winston Hill, a professional offensive tackle. Tony Jeffrey, who was an NFL player from there. Chris Johnson, defensive back for the Oakland Raiders. And then Joe Lansdale, award-winning author that writes all those spooky things on Texas. He lived there for a long time. So he's famous.
Really? All these people from
Harding Lawrence. Yeah, all these people from Gladewater. Harding Lawrence, president of Braniff Airways, is from there.
Wow.
Yes. Delmonico Montgomery, cornerback in the NFL, defensive specialist. James Scott, former Chicago Bears wide receiver. John Ben Shepherd, our former state attorney general.
Wow.
And then Kelsey Warren, billionaire oil man that owns the huge pipeline company here in Dallas, was born in Gladewater. Can you imagine?
Man, I would have never guessed that all these people were. How do you, you know, you come across these places, these places that are so off the radar. We don't think about them. We don't pass through them. We don't, you know, they're completely out of our scope of consciousness on a daily basis. Yet you find these places and there's oftentimes a long list of very talented, well-known people that are from these places. I don't know how you do that, but this is another impressive one. Gladewater, Texas. Who knew? I didn't have a clue.
Who would have known? Gladewater is this famous.
Yeah.
Got all these famous people from there. It's just got all kinds of neat things. And, of course, the neatest thing to me is all of the talent that came through Gladewater and became so famous. You know, all these people, there's not a one of them that I know about that didn't become famous. And, of course, Johnny Cash's song was number one, and he wrote it in 20 minutes.
Jeez.
Backstage.
I can't even imagine.
Backstage, they were just clowning around.
Yeah, he's like scribbling down, you know, the words and coming up with a song in 20 minutes. You would think that something, you know, iconic like that would, you know, you have to have the right setting and you have to write the right inspiration, and it probably takes a while to craft it. But no, just...
Just scribble it down. It's number one hit.
Wow. It sounds
easy.
Oh,
and Elvis showed up in a pink Cadillac.
Of course.
Even then, you know, they made pink Cadillacs. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. In the 50s, you could get a pink Cadillac. I didn't know that.
Jeez.
But they all performed at the Gladewater High School at the Jamboree. It was right there at Gladewater High School. And this is a long time after oil had left them. But you know, that the boom of the oil, if they hadn't found salt water and everything, they would have, you know, went on to become the oil capital of Texas.
Yeah.
But when the salt water hit, it destroyed the oil down there, and they had to go on to something else. But they've done rather well, and a lot of famous people came from there, and look how well they've done.
Yeah. Talk about reinventing yourself. I don't even know if it was intentional or not, but wow. They just, you would think that their 15 minutes, you know, when they had the oil boom and then it all kind of went bust, you would think that'd be kind of it. But then this whole other thing came about, and now they're, you know, on the radar for, and this one obviously has sustained for, can't do the math, but 50, 60, 70 something years. And so.
Oh, yes. And yeah. They have an old bed and bath that used to be an old mansion.
Really?
And it's really a great place. Yes. This old bed and bath is great place for people to stay. And the other thing, they have these daffodils there. They have a field like 28 acres of daffodils there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They've got everything in Gladewater, Texas. Man. I mean, it's a place that everybody should go and spend a few days. They've got brick streets. They've got all the old stuff, you know?
Oh, wow. You know how I love that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. And they've still got old restaurants, the old drugstore. I mean, a lot of things that will take you back in time.
Wow. You would think that Gladewater would be one of those places you just kind of pass through, maybe stop for lunch, take an hour or two. But no, this is going to take a couple of days. This is fantastic.
Yes, and I think it is. And a person should go to the old museum. It's an old museum. It'll tell you everything. It'll show you all this. And then, as I said, they're honoring all of the singers that played there, that came there all the time. And as I said, that one family, Elvis stayed with them all the time back then. He just moved right in. Elvis was staying with them every week when he was there.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's an amazing story that these young singers got to know everybody in town, because they weren't famous then.
Yeah.
They were on their way, but they weren't that famous. And you could talk to them, relate to them back then. You know, everybody just went down to high school and watched them perform.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great time for everybody. I imagine a lot of them got to know all these singers.
Yeah, I would say probably they got to know them very well. And I wonder if I would assume maybe after they did, you know, go on and become, you know, who they are today, you know, the Elvis that we know, and, you know, Johnny, and all, they became the famous people. I wonder if they stayed in touch and stayed friends even after that.
It's my understanding they did. The original people heard from them all the time.
Wow, that's
cool. Because they knew them way back when they were just getting started, and they were singing all over East Texas. These boys were performing everywhere, you know, for whatever they could make. I mean, when you're performing at the high school, it takes you back a long way. and when the JCs only makes $1,300,
jeez,
you know, after they pay everybody, you know, they weren't making a lot.
No. Even back then, it wasn't a lot. Wow. Yeah, Gladewater definitely going on the list of things to do and places to see. And wow, fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Of course, you know how I love Texas history, and when you combine it with music, it just becomes a magical
thing. That's right.
Wow, how cool.
It would have been a great time to have known all these people and to know their music back then. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I would imagine probably people got a sneak peek of what later became hits back then, before they were, you know, the famous people. You know, maybe they were singing those songs and or even, you know, trying to write the songs, or, you know, coming up with the early incarnations of songs and things like that. So they probably got a preview of some big hits back then. That'd be cool.
That's right. Yeah, they got previews of a lot of things that went on. And we're recorded later. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, yeah. Before we run out of time, we should probably, because we right before trivia, we threw out there, oh, you've got to be accredited to do a life settlement, and people are aware of the risk. We probably should take a second and probably go over what does that actually mean. So first of all, what does it mean to be accredited in order to do a life settlement?
Okay, to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. The government says they want only accredited people doing this. They don't want someone that has $50,000 and makes $50,000 a year. The government doesn't want that. They want to be sure you have enough money that you can take the risk. So they say you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. So that's the criteria that we have to go by. The minimum investment is $100,000. And then the risk involved, your greatest risk is it could go over and you might have to pay premiums. So you should always know, look and see what the premium is when you do a policy, or ask us. But we always put the premium down when we do a deal. We always say, this is what your quarterly premium will be. Everything is based on a quarterly premium. The other risk is it is not liquid, folks. It is not liquid till it matures. I think everybody understands that. When you make an investment, until the end of the investment, it's not liquid. So that is your other risk. But people should know that. The people that came to me this week, they were recommended by some of our clients that have done quite well.
Ah.
So, you know, I should mention that a lot of people always recommend us. We get a lot of recommendations. People come because somebody said, look, this is what I've made, this is what I'm making. And people come. And that's why they bring us $1 million or $500,000 or whatever it is. And if they want out of the stock market, this is the best way to get out and do this. If you like us, if you do it, you know.
So I guess probably the takeaway from today is that based on what's happened this week, not only with policies, but also with new investors, feedback you've been getting, this is really a great time. There's a lot of things that are happening. So if people are looking at their portfolio, maybe they're in the stock market and they're saying, you know, not only are we not making what we wanted to make, but we're actually losing more than maybe what we actually thought. We need to find some other solutions, whether you go with a life settlement or an annuity. Either one, both a great option, both have some good, I guess, security measures, safety nets, conservative aspects of them. It just really kind of depends where people are and where they want to be in a short amount of time. I assume you have appointment for this availability this coming week. I know last week was kind of hectic for new investors, but you have a time this week to see people?
Yes, we will take time this week. We're doing a lot of things. We're busy. But yes, we'll be taking appointments. We'll be talking to people. They can always send an email and say, I'm accredited. I'd like to talk to you. Here's my phone number. Here's my email. And I will respond back.
Okay. And that all that contact information is also on the website, I assume.
That's right.
Okay. And so fun.
I assume too.
We hope. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call out and make an appointment?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.